come back and gather together to worship. Thank you, Chris, for those thoughts on contentment. Certainly a challenge for me. I had told you last evening that before the message, each evening I would like to hear from you. If you have something you would like to share, particularly thinking of what you're thankful for, something that you're thankful for, something that has been a blessing to you. Doesn't need to totally be that. A God moment in your life where you were again refreshed in your faith that yes, God is real. Just take a few moments. If you talk all evening, then I will not need to preach. But that usually doesn't happen. So open it up to you. And I don't want you to feel pressured. You don't need to feel like you got to fabricate something. You know, one of those things that are just way down in there. Just want to come out. Anyone? Brothers or sisters? Sorry. Thank you. Yes.
Tonight, I am so thankful to be part of the church, a brotherhood, and those of brothers and sisters around us that are always accountable and are there through the joys and sorrows of life, and we can share together. I just want to take this opportunity to thank our the local congregation here at Fort. The last couple of weeks when we were moving and all the blessings that you've been to us, your encouragement, meals and help and everything, I just want to thank you for that and say we really appreciate that. Yeah, what a blessing it is to be part of it.
Yes. I wasn't part of what you speak, but your church family heard, so. Sure, they were glad to share, and community is such a blessing. Anyone else? Thank you for sharing. What a blessing. Anyone else? All right, we'll give you opportunity again, Lord willing, tomorrow evening. I think we'll sing our theme song now. Ask the chorister to lead us. I mean, the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3. Number 321.
Number 321.
Spirit. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou. Bid us love thee, God and King. All of thine own soul, heart, and strength and mind. I see the cross there, to teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt. Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer.
Teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. You know, that is life sometimes, isn't it? It feels like the prayer is unanswered. God always does answer prayers, doesn't he? Maybe not always with the answer that we think that we should have. But calmness in acceptance is where we find peace. Tonight for a message, I'd like to look at a account in Mark chapter 10, in verses 46 to 52. We have a little story, an account tucked in here of a work of Jesus, a miracle that Jesus has done, Jesus did, and we'd like to draw some lessons from this. While you're turning there, a number of months ago, our congregation had a service. We go there to sing on the fifth Wednesday evenings. And I noticed an elderly man there, and he appeared to me to be a farmer. He had a John Deere cap on. And I believe his shirt might have said something about John Deere, too. And he just had the look of a farmer. And struck my interest. I talked to him afterwards. And yes, he was a farmer. And he proceeded to tell me about his time on the farm and of the John Deere tractors they had. But I noticed as he was talking with me, his eyes remained closed, and I wondered if he was blind. I really wanted to find out, but how do you find out? And in the course of conversation, he told me that He cannot see very well. Okay, I had my answer. So I ask him how he is coping with not being able to see. And he mentioned, one of the things that he mentioned to me is that he shed a lot of tears. But as I talked with him, he seemed to have a sense of acceptance about his condition. But I couldn't help feeling sorry for him. I told him that heaven, there will be no tears, and these earthly problems will be gone. The clock back there, to my eyesight, does not have a minute hand. But for what I would like us to do, I should have my phone here, but what I would like us to do is I would like you to close your eyes for 1 minute. Just 1 minute, 60 seconds. I'll keep my eyes open, so see if anything's going to come get us. But if you can tolerate it, close your eyes for 1 minute. And imagine, I'll tell you when to start. But imagine yourself blind and you cannot see. And imagine that that is your lot in life. You're blind and you cannot see. You know what? There is a minute hand back there. I see it. All right. Go ahead. Close your eyes for a minute. It's 1 minute. Now think about how life would be blind. You're unable to move about like you had once. Everything needs to be familiar for you to be able to find things. You might have a dog that you follow. You might have a stick that you use. But you're blind. You cannot see. Think about what you would miss. Maybe you were born blind. But think about if this happened to you and you were blind. How would you get your food? How would you read your Bible? You couldn't see your loved ones. You're blind. Just think about it. The minute will be up shortly. But there are people who are blind. There are people who cannot hear. We're thinking about being blind. And they cannot see. All right, you can open your eyes. I'm not exactly sure where we were there, but it was long enough, wasn't it? It was long enough. Well, Mark chapter 10. Lest I forget. So, without accepting Jesus into our heart, we're blind. We're spiritually blind. If you don't think about it that way, because life goes on, we can see physically. But without Jesus, we are but a blind man. I was blind at one day. Those of you who have accepted Jesus, there was a day when you were blind and you couldn't see spiritual things. Could we say that this blindness, spiritual blindness, maybe our vision, I don't know, bear with me, but maybe our vision becomes dimmer and dimmer, if that's a word, the longer we go on walking in darkness. Maybe the longer we spurn the Holy Spirit's call, it gets darker and darker in spiritual realm. Let's read this little account, and then I want to look at seven lessons that we can learn from this account. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and his disciples. Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Miracle of Jesus, healing a blind man. What can we learn from this story? Well, the first thing that I would like to point out is that man without Jesus is spiritually blind. And we need to reckon with it. Men without Jesus are spiritually blind. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Notice the situation of Bartimaeus. And the title of the message is Bartimaeus, Blind, Begging, Believing. Bartimaeus, blind, begging, believing. Notice the situation of Bartimaeus. He sat by the wayside. There he was. And we'll notice his cloak a little bit later, but he has this garment about him. Perhaps this was a security to him, his garment. Our children, small children, sometimes they have their blanket that is a security to them. We go away on a trip, we got to take the blanket along. Well, he had a garment. He sat by the wayside, and he was a beggar. He was a beggar. I'm not sure what that's like. Never done it, never had that situation. But he was a beggar. And on top of that, he couldn't see. He was blind. Blind. Men try to turn to other things to fill the void in their heart. And Satan wants to bring men into bondage by offering an easy life of pleasure. But it results in a tighter web, a tighter bondage. Men without Jesus are spiritually blind. What does that look like? A spiritually blind person. What does that look like? I think some of the indications of spiritual blindness is scoffing religion and religious people, scoffing and mockery, rejection of truth. Is an indication of a spiritually blind person. Rejecting truth. Another indication of a spiritually blind person is being bound in the bondage of sin. Bound in the bondage of sin. And we know as believers There are habits sometimes that we form that are not good habits. But by the grace of God and the help of brothers and sisters and openness and accountability, we endeavor to break those habits by the power of God. It should not be normal to live in habitual sin. Men without Jesus are spiritually blind. Surrender at the cross is the answer to the pain in our heart. Surrender at the cross. Men who claim to be in the light and hate their brother are in darkness also. 1 John 1, 9-11 tells us. They're in darkness also. They make it look good, but they turn around and they hate their brother. Point number two. What can we learn from this story? Believing in Jesus is essential to finding freedom. Believing in Jesus is essential to finding freedom. Verses 47 and 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But he cried out all the more. And by this story, the commentators would tell us, by him calling Jesus the son of David, was an indication that he was recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. The belief that the Messiah would be a descendant of David was common among the Jews. Believing in Jesus is essential to finding freedom. We'll hasten on here just shortly. Belief is not good enough alone, but it is the beginning step. John 8, verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Romans 10, 9 and 10, "Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Believing is essential, but it's not all. It's not enough. To finding freedom. I just want to plead with you that if there is pain in your heart and struggle in your heart, that you bring it to the cross, you bring it to Jesus, you bring it to Jesus for healing and for forgiveness and release. But so often I think that individuals turn to other things. They turn to other things to satisfy that deep hurt or that deep longing. And they get bound up in vices of sin. Freedom. Number three, what can we learn? Calling out to Jesus for mercy is man's only hope. Calling out to Jesus for mercy is man's only hope. Some time ago, a couple years ago, I read an article of a construction crew that was working close to Allentown, not far from our place. They were working, and in the course of their work, they heard someone crying for help. But they couldn't tell exactly where it was coming from. And they called the fire company. The fire company came out, and They, of course, did what they do, and they found that the call was coming from down below, in the ground. And as they searched further, they lifted a sewer pipe up, and sure enough, there was a man trapped in the sewer pipe. And it remains a mystery yet of how he got there and how long he was there. He didn't seem, the article said, he didn't seem to want to tell a whole lot about his story, more than that he woke up down there in the sewer pipe. But he was calling for help. Calling out to Jesus for mercy is man's only hope. I want to remind you of something, and that is the story of the prodigal son. The story tells us that the young man went away, and he went out, and he spent his living. And there was a point where he came to himself. He came to himself. And that's a wonderful point in life when men come to themselves and they say, I remember. Back at Dad's house. You know, there's a lot there. I will arise and I will go back. Calling out to Jesus for mercy is man's only hope. Can you hear the earnest cry of this poor beggar? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. The man was persistent. There, those standing by him tried to quiet him down. And loved ones, let's not be those people who, when in our midst, there is someone crying for help. And we can tell and we can see. And we say, just be quiet. But let's be there to help, to bring them to Jesus. Bring to the cross our deepest pain. Bringing to the cross our deepest pain is essential in finding freedom and deliverance from the clutch of bondage. Trust in Jesus. Calling out to Jesus gives evidence that this man recognized his need. It's essential for finding freedom. He knew that he was blind. He knew that he was the wayside beggar, and he wanted help. Just as it is important to cry out to Jesus for mercy in finding salvation, it is important to continue reaching out to him for direction and help. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 tells us to not be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. On a side note, we must remember in helping people find freedom that we are not the source of freedom, but we only point them to Jesus, who is the source of freedom. We are not the source of freedom. We point men to Jesus. Number 4, Jesus hears the cry of mercy and responds. This is not just a hoax. This is not, Jesus hears the cry of mercy and responds. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. A beautiful picture of the compassion, the compassionate heart of Jesus. A few verses. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called unto the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Psalm 145, 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. It is a lie of the devil that wants people to believe that I am beyond help. That is a lie of the devil. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness before God, a contrite heart. God hears and God responds. A sign or a clipping I saw just lately, it had to do with Emergency Medical Services, and there was just simply a little clipping that impacted me as I thought about it, but it said this. It said, imagine if you called and no one came. Imagine if you called and no one came. Not so with Jesus. Number five, to come to Jesus requires a letting go of the old life. Verse 50, Bartimaeus rose, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Coming to Jesus, finding freedom, requires letting go of the old life. He threw his garment aside. Think about it. Threw the garment aside. You know, there are things that we hold on to. There are securities. We hold on to them. But God is calling us to get rid of those things where our trust is and put our trust in him. You know, we could think about, just coming to me now, we could think about this cloak as idolatry things in our life, things that are idols to us in our life, things that we hold on to for security, or things that has our attention above God. It's our cloak. We're holding on to it. But yet over here, we're struggling in an area. We're struggling over here. Are you willing to throw the garment aside? No doubt the garment was disgusting and dirty and I don't know. But it was, for some reason, he threw that garment aside. And we don't have record of him ever going back and picking it up again. Are you willing to throw aside those things that are keeping you in bondage? The power to change lives from a position of a wayside blind beggar to a sightseeing follower, that power rests in the power of the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. So how is it with you? How is it with me? Am I continuing to walk in the ways of a new life? Indications of a new life. That my garment is thrown aside and I'm walking a new life. The man we were talking to today made the comment that if people would be through the week who they claim to be on Sunday, how things could be so different. I trust that's not here. I do not know you as well. I just know myself. But are the habits of the old life nipping at your heels? Number six, Jesus provides for man exactly what he needs. Verse 51 and 52. He cast away his garment. He came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, what will you that I do for you? And he said, Lord, that I receive my sight. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, And Bartimaeus told him. And Jesus provided the answer. Bartimaeus went right to the point. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to meet your deepest need? I don't know what that is. Maybe it's your husband that has the problem. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's the church leaders. Maybe it's the conference. Maybe it's the neighbor. Maybe it's the lack of money. Maybe it's you got too much money. But you have a need, and it's bugging you really badly. Can Jesus meet that need? How does he meet that need? Well, number 7, following Jesus in the way is the way of faith. Following Jesus in the way is the way of faith. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. 1 John 1, 5 to 7 tells us the importance of walking in the light as he is in the light. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Romans chapter 8, we're not going to look there, but teaches us that the path of living, teaches us about the path of living in the life of the Holy Spirit. The carnal life is put away with, and there's a new life, a way of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 gives us the list of the fruits of the Spirit. The question for myself that I need to answer, does my daily walk, my daily life as I live, correspond with the teachings of Jesus? Is the new life evident in my actions? Once I was blind, now I see. Is that new life of seeing evident in how I live? Well, may God be gracious to us. We're not perfect. We know we make mistakes and we fail. But is the grace of God evident in your life? Where you are spiritually minded. You care about the things of spiritual value. You care about those things. Or is the carnal heart your friend? Carnality. Is that where you camp out? I pray that together we could experience the healing of sight. That we could see clearly and not grope around in darkness. You see, light makes manifest. Light makes manifest. Is your life open? Well, maybe you're here tonight and you realize that there's some darkness in your heart. And you want to experience true light and freedom. We'd like to sing an invitation song again this evening.